One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Miami, Florida. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make the dates. I have some stuff I have to take care of, but when we rebook, I will let you know.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pass Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I just want to say, like I say every episode, thank you very much. Whatever you do to support me, whether it's the shows, the stand-up, whatever it is, thank you very much. Whether you're new here, whether you've been here, I appreciate you, all right? If you want to come see me on tour and I'm in your town, I'm going through the year, y'all. So go get your tickets on my website at ryansickler.com. And if you got to have more, you got to check out the Patreon. It's this show, The Honeydew, and it's with y'all. It's $5 a month. I've never raised it. We've been doing it for years. All right. So if you or someone you know has a story that's got to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. All right. That's it, man. You guys know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say, these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Ali Sadiq. Welcome back to the Honeydew.
Man, thank you for having me. Hey, to everybody, this is Ali Sadiq. You can check me out at Ali Sadiq Comedy on YouTube or AliSadiq.com. On all your social media, Ali Sadiq. If you're looking for my tour dates, go to Instagram or Facebook, AliSadiq.com. Make sure you come, you know, come out and support. And I thank you for all your support and your love and your help. Like, it's definitely a help to my family.
Yeah.
It's changed my life, you coming out to support me. So thank you. And thank you for having me back on the Honeydew.
Anytime, dude.
Man, this is a great platform.
Anytime. Let's talk about your special, because you got what part now? Three?
Yeah, three.
Three's coming.
Yeah, Domino Effect 3, first day of school. You know, about to be released on YouTube, Mother's Day, May the 12th at noon.
Okay.
You know, so, man, it's a ride. The first 3 years of me actually being incarcerated, when I first got arrested, I ended on, in two, I ended with me getting incarcerated. And now it's the process of me going through it, you know, starting from booking and how dangerous people don't understand booking is.
Can you talk about that? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, man, booking is dangerous, man. Because
you just in there with everybody that can pop off at any moment.
Everybody. Okay. You don't know what these people are.
It's not a one at a time isolated thing.
And it's like, man, this man here for a triple homicide. He's like,
oh, you're just in line with everybody.
I am in here for a traffic violation. Like, why am I in here with him? I have a warrant.
Never thought about
in,
that.
In a small area that I forgot to pay the ticket, he has triple homicide. This don't even match. What sense? Okay, who's in charge of where people stand at? Okay, arson, let's call it off. You in booking. You in booking. You are there for a traffic, you forgot to pay a ticket. They should have warned for your arrest.
So they don't line you up by like minor infractions.
It's not by infractions.
And then the people that need to be held back.
It's not even in alphabetical order of crime. It's like it's not in nothing. It's like a group
crime.
This is grouped together. I don't even understand this process.
This is what's scary. This is why I never want to be ever in prison.
This is what people don't understand.
This is prison. This is not jail.
No, this is jail.
Oh, you're just going to jail first.
See, when you first get arrested, you got to go to jail first.
Okay,
before you get sentenced to prison.
Yes, I do know that. I thought this was you going from jail to prison.
No, this is how dangerous it is. This is not even prison. Now, in prison, everybody's together. You understand that. Okay, you understand. Okay, my cellie may be here for life. you know, I'm here for 15 years. I'm not going to bring up my time. If there ain't no need to talk about that, I'm going home at some point, hopefully, if I survive it. But in jail, come on, man, they got to have a better system than this. You got stopped in a park for masturbating. I don't want to be in there with you.
Yeah.
I got stopped for a traffic infringement. You see how this doesn't
I
even...
I made an illegal right over it, man. I shouldn't be in here.
Y'all not even sorting us out until later. Like, I don't get this.
Oh, shit. I used to write and produce on this show. It was called Jail. It was literally the booking process of jail. The show's called Jail. Like Cops, but just jail. And you're giving me flashbacks now because I have forgotten about it. But I remember, like, they had these wicked hoods they would put on people because they would spit. They would spit on the cops, and they put these gnarly looking, like beekeeper helmets on them and shit. And
they used to have a shield before that.
What do you mean?
They used to have a shield where they would walk you behind a shield because you would spit. So they would walk.
You
behind on the shield.
I see.
So yeah. So in prison, they still had a shield because of people throw spears at folks. But it is. Okay, you worked at jail. Explain to me,
work at jail. I worked on a show.
Oh yeah, you were on the show. You
were
on the show.
I was
different. Definitely different. Okay. I would like to, I needed a show to go back and talk to the administration about the process of all of it, okay? Nonviolent offenders, why are they even in contact with violent offenders? Okay, sir, I sold cocaine. He ate three people. He ate them. Do you understand? You found carcasses and bones and leftover liver. You found all in that man's house. You found 5 kilos of cocaine on me. It is not the same. You're not finna make that the same.
I remember this HBO documentary where it was your point. This kid was in there for writing bad checks. That's all he did. Wrote some bad checks, but they put him into maximum security. And when he got in there, it became a race thing. And they were like, because he is a white kid, of course. And they were like, you're either rolling with us or we're fucking killing your ass. And this poor kid, while these two dudes were beefing, one guy was stabbing the other one. The white guy was stabbing like this Mexican dude or something. And that kid that wrote bad checks, they made him hold the dude's legs. And just by being there to do that, now he's in on this murder because they killed that guy. And I was like,
for sure.
What the hell is he doing in there with them? But that's why I think like they don't give a fuck. Try not to fuck up because they're just going to throw you in there with the savages.
That's why people say, people be talking about crime is crime. No, it's not. It's different levels to crime. And what people do, you know, like I'm a very like really bougie ex-con. So
what do you mean?
Oh, I'm very bougie. Like, I won't come bond you out just because you in jail. You know, I need to agree with your crime. Like, it need to be something that I would do.
Like, you're not gonna bail anybody.
I'm not bailing anybody. Like, you trafficking human beings. I can't be involved in that. You know what I'm saying? If I bail you out, it looks like I agree. Like, I'm supporting it. No, I'm cool. Now, if you get something else, and the other thing about it is, I really want to come get you because I understand that it doesn't mean you're going to make it out. Because you can get killed in jail in some places. You know, Rikers Island is a jail. It's not a prison. It's a jail.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's not a prison. It's a jail.
I'm a big fan of this stuff. I watched a documentary on Rikers Island. I will never forget. This is the strongest looking human being I've ever seen. He's a dude that would just do push-ups in his cell all day long. And I mean every angle you could think of, handstand ones. And they had to shackle him double because he could snap a regular pair of handcuffs right off. And he would do it for him. Like, pop. I'm like, get the fuck. And that's just a jail. So that guy could only be in there for few months. He's not even in there for years.
Several.
And you fucking drink and drive and get thrown in with his ass?
It's several. I know several people that like that.
That strong, like that prison strong?
Yeah.
God.
And when you in there, I used to be like that. Yeah, push ups from every angle, 1,000 push ups a day.
You were disciplined like that?
Yeah, 1,000 because you're in a place where it can pop off. And you don't necessarily have to be involved. You can just be out there.
That's what this kid was. He was out there and they're like, lay on this dude's legs. Yep.
You are in a race thing and they're not separating you from everybody else. And you have to be physically ready. So, yeah, you tie your mattress up with the sheet and make a hook and you do.
That's how you do your tricep extension.
Yeah.
These are prison tries, right?
500. You pull that thing, and you push ups off the bunk, feet, hands on the bunk, hands on feet
yeah,
on the
every
bunk.
Every angle, he was doing every angle. Yeah.
Every angle. Then you do dips. You inside, you outside, you wide, you 1,000 of everything. You do that every day. Off the top of the toilet, off the sink, which is the toilet is tied to the sink. So
were you in your best shape in jail?
For sure. No, I think I was in my best shape 2 years ago.
Okay.
When I went back to training boxing.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in my best shape. Now I'm going back. You know, I bought me some new own clouds. So
that's the most non-prison.
Now, I'm telling you, I knew I lost my edge when, you know, on cloud, like, I can talk about on cloud of Hokas for hours because it's my favorite shoe. And because I'm running, I'm trying to stay active. I'm 50.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and, you know, staying in shape is a must.
It is.
Especially being on the road. You're on the road all the time. I think that's one of the things that comics that want this life, and even with, and I know women think I'm being sexist when I say this, it's very hard for a comedian that's a woman to be on this road without a bunch of help, because it's grueling on men. So I know for facts my shoulder has been horrible. Not from any type of sport, not from lifting weights, not from any of that. From how many times I've had to pick
prison
my bag
push-ups?
My bag up.
What do you mean? Just from grabbing your suitcase?
My luggage.
Yeah,
up,
all up over your head.
Down. Off the conveyor belt. In the room, on the thing.
Yeah.
Right back up down. Damn. And you don't realize that you tearing your damn rotator cuff up. You like man, I don't know what this is. It's you don't realize you done lifted your luggage 2,000 times. And you like, it's crazy. And then your backpack is on your thing. Taking that off, putting that down, stuffing that under, snatching that back up, putting that back on, taking that back down, bringing that, like, same arm.
That's what we're doing all day. And then you sit for 5 hours and you do it again. Yeah.
And you don't realize it. And you are in a different place to where if somebody asked you, man, what was you at yesterday? And you like, wait, okay. Today is Monday, right? Okay, cool. So Monday, okay. Sunday, I got here. Sacramento.
I asked Kirsten, I'm like, where were we 2 weeks ago?
And that's what I do all the time.
Omaha. I'm like, oh, we were in Omaha. I can't fucking remember it anymore. It's just back to back to back.
So
you're doing the same shit, grabbing that bag and going.
You know how funny that commercial was when old dude said, "Get in Detroit,"
and it was the wrong city.
You know how funny it was. Now it's a phobia.
Thank you. I think of that guy every time, and you hear the
before
music.
You say anything. If the audience notices. Is paying attention that the good comics before they close out and say goodnight, whatever, there's a pause. And it's a gathering of, because you haven't said the city all night. You walked out. The host said, go to the stage, give it up for Ryan. And you walked out. Start doing your thing. You haven't said anything about this city in an hour. And now you about to close and you like, man, where am I? Today is Friday. Today's Friday. Before I say it, my mind needs to feel like myself. Good night, Portland!
I just reached, I'm knock on wood, I've never messed up the city, but just this last stop, man. I said, it was Saturday, no doubt, late show. And I was like, we're here on that late Friday night show. And I heard a, I was like, that's a weird energy. And then I guess I said something again about Friday night. And then I guess I said it again. And somebody yelled up, it's Saturday. And I said, huh? And they said, it's Saturday. And I said, what have I been saying? And then the whole audience, Friday. I said, how many times did I say it? Some guy said, four. I was like, no, I didn't say four. But I said at least a couple times for sure. I can remember what fucking day it was.
Yep.
What day it was. But I've never messed up the city, man. But I purposely go out, you know, because of that fear. And I say, what's up, Toledo? What's up, Portland? What's up, Seattle? I try.
Even when I say
and
it.
And then you're right, though. It's another hour.
Yeah,
you said it again.
And I'm still unsure because I've said that a lot. Mm-hmm. I've said that same thing. In Detroit, in East Cincinnati. You know, like, yeah. I've said that a lot. That, man.
That is exactly
the way my mind as the conditioning as a comedian, a traveling comedian. Every profession has its scars, so to speak, whether mental or physical. People who play the trumpet, they have a thing on their lip. That's going to be on there. That happens. People who play basketball, there's going to be some dislocated fingers. People who play football, feet and knees. Sometimes the waist. They have a certain walk. Mm-hmm. Rogue comedians that actually do it. And they on the road all the time. It's the scars of the road. Go on vacation, you off, but your body is not off.
I don't know how to do that. I'm terrible at that.
It's
I can't turn it off.
It is.
I can turn off the jokes. I can't turn off the energy.
It's Friday, and your body is saying you are supposed to be somewhere doing something. And it's hard not to be on a schedule on those particular days. Mm-hmm. Thursday, you can manage. Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday. But when it gets to Saturday, Friday, hey man, we got to make dinner. We got to do it because I got to do this so I can get here. So I got to make this. And then I realize I'm not performing. I don't have to eat at a certain time. I don't have to go to bed at a certain time. I don't have to do all the things that I'm accustomed to doing and relaxing going to the airport. I try to get my family to the airport like it's me late for a flight. Or I did this. This is so crazy. I'm used to flying the same airlines. So when I go to the airport, same airport, I go to Southwest, check in. I'm walking. Some reason I'm reading a ticket. That's not my name. I go back and I say, man, that's not my name. Bring on back. She said, well, your flight is not to 7 p.m. I'm like, no, my flight is at 6. like in some in like 45 minutes. I look at my flight. I'm not on Southwest. I'm on Delta.
But they still issued you a ticket for a human being.
And they sent my bag down.
Oh, no.
So now I got to wait for them to get my bag. Yeah. And it's going through some rigmarole to get back to me. And it just went down the belt. I go check in at Delta. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, why did I even check in Southwest? But my mind is, I'm always flying Southwest when I'm coming to this airport. Why would I not be flying Southwest? Trained, my mind is trained for certain things. And it's the scars of this business and my shoulder.
Yeah.
My shoulder is definitely, and I've switched how I put up bags because this shoulder was terrible. And it's weird. This is a crazy business.
So I know crazy business.
I know how grueling it is, and you trying to stay healthy and eating club food. If you don't have the means or you're not to the level where they are sent out for you. And it's different levels to the game. And I think a part of that is being a, so to speak, let me see what I would call it, instead of just old school, being a novelist with how the steps go based upon how I came up. As a opening comic or the host, I never went in the green room. It's not my green room. I don't house my stuff in there. Not my green room. As a feature that did not come with the headliner, it's not my green room. So coming up under that, when you come in and the host and the feature had their stuff in the green room.
Asking you if they can sell their merch. That's my favorite.
And you.
I got a duffel bag already on the floor. You mind if I sell my t-shirts?
You're like, this is weird. And then, but the game has had people thinking that's how it goes. That you think you're privy to the green room because of these what they call these shows where people just get everybody together and they do a show at the club and they feature everybody and everybody's in the green room. I like the clubs who y'all here to do a show, but the green room was not accessible because it's actually for the headliners. Headliners mean the people who sell the tickets and put the butts in the seats and
have all the pressure, do all the marketing's on them, all of it. Yeah, travel.
Everything is they fault those things. But you want the privilege, the perks of it, but you don't want the responsibility of it. That's a thing I struggle with. In this business. So that's how people keep the same people on the road with them.
Mm-hmm.
And new people don't understand it. Like even with people who have this audacity, not understanding this business. Why would you contact me on any type of social media, DM me and ask to feature or open up? I don't know you. Never heard of you. And you're not taking in consideration the people that I do know. Why would I pick you when it's somebody else that I actually know? Because this is not about the stand-up. This has nothing to do with your stand-up. This has something to do with sharing my personal space. That's what this has to do with.
Man, people don't get it. I've heard actors tell me the same thing too. Let's say a role comes down to you and Joe Blow, and you're all going to be in Atlanta for 3 months. The honest to God is, who do we want to hang out with more? Who's going to be less of a problem? Who's going to be the good? You get the role, period. It isn't about you know what I'm saying? Like, people don't want to put up with your bullshit, then you're not going to get it. It is that easy. It is that easy. Most people don't want to put up with bullshit. You better be undeniable. You better be Kanye level shit to have people put up with you all that time.
That's the thing. And people would accept, you don't have to be the same. I've been on the road with several people. Not the same as them. We share some things that's common. The love of the craft and maybe we family, politics, whatever the situation may be. But the demeanor of Ali doesn't change. And nothing's wrong with me because I'm not on all the time or I'm not doing this when you're doing it. Like, when you're doing that, I'm on the road with people, they don't take naps. They go all day, get to the show, 3 o'clock, everybody, but it's centered around on this tour, they got to get me to sound check, out of sound check, and then back to the hotel by 3 because I go to sleep every day at 3 o'clock. 3 to 5:30.
You do that every day on the road or you do it at home as well?
On the road.
Okay.
Get ready for a show. Every day. So when I'm on the road. So I'm accustomed to that. That's what's going to happen with me. They can be up all night.
Yeah.
But it's not on them. They not, the right. Energy is different from a club to a theater. Even with that, I have a problem with somebody that I don't know asking to do a theater with me. Have you earned that in your own right? Have you earned the club spot at your club? I don't know you. Nobody's vouching for you. Nobody's saying, Ali, do you know? Let me introduce, because they know if I'm in Atlanta, so you don't think I know Ronnie Jordan? You don't think that I know Rodney Perry?
That's what I was going to say. There's not only the meetings you bring, you know so many of these people in different cities, Chicago.
Yeah. So I know people in other cities, it doesn't have a race and it doesn't have a sexuality to it. I know a lot of people. So why would I pick somebody off the internet that I don't know, I don't have no idea about? What about the people who, comedians who helped me to get to this spot, who was supporting back then, or who my friends, or who I work with, you know, not even just the ones I know, who the ones who I got real close relationships with. They may be at the house and say, man, I'll come through to a guest spot. Because that's what a real guest spot is a person who the people would know. Not some random person. Yo, y'all give it up for Mike Flemings.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, no, he's not a guest, he's an intruder. Yeah, like
I like, I'm gonna start using that when they come to close out. Like, I got an intruder here.
Yeah.
Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. Free trials start to add up when you forget to cancel them on time. So thanks to Rocket Money, there is no more wasting money on forgotten subscriptions. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lowering your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/honeydew. That's rocketmoney.com/honeydew. Rocketmoney.com/honeydew. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-aid underwear to innovative anti-odor tees, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. All right, so before, actually, I got Mack Weldon as a sponsor, I bought their underwear, and I love them. They're my favorite new pair of underwear. And then they sent me sweats and a hoodie, and I'm telling you, their stuff is butter, y'all. It's butter. I wear it around nonstop. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. They're not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code HoneyDew. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code HoneyDew. Did you ever play the over-under game with your friend? You know, something like, I think I can eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds, or I know it's going to take you over a minute to down that 2 liter. Well, if you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. One of the cool things about Pick 6 is that you don't have to know basketball. You can still play and have fun. Here is how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat, rebounds, points, assists, and more. Track your picks and play against others for a shot to win huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code HoneyDew for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code HoneyDew only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Now, let's get back to the do. I wanted to ask you this because I remember now asking you something last episode or last time you were on here where I said to you, I asked you if there was anything you missed about prison. And the one thing you said that stuck out to me was accountability. That I call them keyboard cowboys, all these loudmouth motherfuckers behind their monitors and shit. But in a system like prison or jail, you pop off like that, you better be ready to defend yourself. You don't get to hide in your house or anonymously and all that. How do you deal with that in life and in comedy? Because there's so much fucking hate on the internet and shit. Like, are you able to ignore it now? Because like prison, like that, you know what I'm saying? This is nothing compared to that. Or how do you handle it? Or do you fire back at these people? That's got to test you.
I'm real subtle with it. When I've had misunderstandings with people, I call them, because it's not real
online misunderstanding.
Oh, online, I don't generally read those comments because I already know what that is. You trying to get me aroused with some nonsense. I'm not finna let you puppeteer my feelings, you know, because you behind the keyboard saying whatever, but when it comes to people who saying something like out your mouth and you saying that you were recording something or you saying it on record, you put it on record, okay. I'm not the dude that's gonna, say if I get into it with somebody and I'm talking loud with them, I'm not into it with them, I'm playing with them people. We just jousting back and forth. A real beef is you talking crazy and me not responding until I see you.
You just don't say anything, and then when you show up, it's on. That's a good move.
I'm not finna jockey back and forth with you.
Yeah.
Because now if something happened to you, I'm first person you're going to accuse. Man, I never said anything to that man. What are you talking about? So when it's on, and I don't let the audience puppeteer me. Oh, you better not say nothing to that. I don't listen to that. Cause if I listen to that, I let people pay attention later. Well, somebody say, oh, he said this X, Y, and Z. And then somebody say, hey, you notice he ain't said that since then, huh? Man, what you mean? Just know, he ran into him. And it's amazing how much bigger somebody appears when you see them face to face, like how, what the energy of it. And sometimes people understand that, you know, that there's, you don't have enough people over there with you. Cause I'm not, man, none of that's I'm not even weighing, they're not even a factor. Because I'm way past what you think. If they try to protect you, I look at them in a certain way. Like, are you serious? You finna put yourself on the line for somebody that did something wrong? Okay, cool. I'm gonna show you why you shouldn't have did that. And this is an example before I get to you. You understand what I'm doing in front of you? When I get to you, it's gonna be 10 times, because you don't understand what type of energy that's coming with this, because I guarantee you this. You started this with me. 50 years old, to this day, it's nobody in this world can say I ever started a fight with them. Even the people who I've had fights with, they were like, I started it. Because they know they did. I'm 5'7", 150 pounds most times. I don't go around starting fights with people. I'm not going to say nothing insulting to you.
Yeah.
That's not my thing. 6 years of prison. Nobody will ever say Ali Siddiq started a fight.
You did all six?
Yeah, on a 15.
Whew.
And they'll never say he started a fight. You seen him fight before? Yeah. He didn't start it, though. People don't understand, it's levels to anger and levels to things. Like, I'm more offended that you're bothering me than anything. And then now it's another level of, what made you think that you could bother me? Like, what was I doing that made you think that you could bother me?
Yeah.
And then it's another level of anger. Man, I'm finna show you why you shouldn't have never thought, or when you think again, anybody that you even see that's my size, you'll think about this three times before you even say it. Man, I'm finna punish you so crazy. And then it's another level of, because you said that shit out your mouth, everybody around it heard it, I'm finna show them why you shouldn't think that you could say it. This is not an example just for you. It's for them too. And this is, like, bro, you playing. And in my whole mind says that, man, I'm on, like, bro, do you understand, man, what's about to happen to you, bro, for playing with me? Like, this shit crazy. I'm like, yo, bro, you tripping with yourself. Cause you don't understand really being at war. You don't understand physical combat. You don't understand going to all means to hurt. If you don't get that, your mind is programmed for a fight. I am way past this with you. Right? I am trying to put you in critical condition where you are on a slow drip. It's like you are tripping. And it's the once again, the mental scars of being in a place where you don't tolerate no type of disrespect because of, hey man, do you understand consequences?
So let me ask you this then. How long after you get out of prison do you start to let that go a little bit?
You fade like, in and out.
Yeah. It's sort of on its individual thing.
First 5 years, I'm going to speak for myself. First 5 years, I'm on one still.
Real
I'm
quick, heightened. Did you keep doing your push-ups and shit?
Yep.
Okay, you know what's funny? I swear to you, this made me have a flashback. I'm with my brother. This is just a few years ago. I'm in Delaware. We pull into this gas station. We're picking up some crabs. And there's this dude that gets out of his car and he just starts doing push-ups right on the parking pylon. And my brother goes, he just got out. And I said, he sure as fuck did. He wasn't giving them up. I swear to God, he was built like he was prison ripped. And I was like, he sure did just get out. And he was just out there just doing them. So you did for a little while, huh?
Yeah, did them for a long while.
And you still doing that many and stuff?
Yeah, still doing that many. In the morning, you start breaking them up.
So how do you let the anger and how do you let your guard down back kids, coming out?
Kids. And then they start growing up and it turns back on because now you're thinking of all the bad people that you met in there.
Man.
And you see the danger. You see the danger in certain things. So
you had no kids at the time you were in prison?
Nah.
Okay. So now you're running the filter through as a father these same people you were in there with and what they do.
And
to
it's
kids.
Not even those people that you it's like the isolated people when you see child molesters and you see.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Right, you see them. You see people who do way, like, man, your mind, man, I sold drugs. This dude here, man. And you see the level.
And do you know that that's what they are because they announced that coming in or everybody just knows?
You find out. You find out.
As public? Or at least or you guys all
we find out. We know you in there for because people want to know who they sharing the cell with. And you're not gonna and it's a code. You're not gonna share a cell with a certain type of person. Hey bro, you gotta get out of here. Oh no, it's ways to get out of here. It's either you can go get a request, you can refuse the house, you know what I'm saying? Or I can help you out with that.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. You're going to find out who you in there with. And you're not going to stay with somebody that's not clean. Is that right?
You get a choice for that? Or you just fuck them up and make sure they know?
This is understanding.
Is that right?
Hey, man. Keep a clean cell around here, my boy.
Yeah.
Give a damn how you was raised, all that other man, whatever.
And what's a clean cell mean?
Like,
make your bed. You do all that.
Floor stay clean. Toilet stay clean. Everything stay good. Stuff stay in order. Yeah, keep your locker clean. Keep your stuff.
Your shit's here. Yeah, my shit's there. Keep it in order.
Yeah, keep this in order, man.
That's regulated by you guys.
Yeah, that's regulated by us. That's not a.
Have you seen this new show on documentary? I think it's called Unlocked. And it's a prison, I can't remember where. It's on right now, but the guy's unlocking all the cells. And they're all like, what? And he's like, I'm going to try this. We're going to try it. We're going to let everybody unlock. And the minute you bring contraband in or you fight or whatever, it's over. And he's trying to let them house as a community and not be locked up. They're still locked up, you know, and whatever you call that.
Like,
the quad.
It's like the dorm.
The dorm. But they're letting them open. Do you think... when you were there, that's something that would have been successful.
They did that for the sex offenders. They had an open cell policy.
What's that mean?
They cells was open like that. They was housing themselves for sex offenders. We was locked. We would have to either be.
Why are they not locked up? So people could get in and out of there.
Help me understand it.
Really, it's not so.
Why they was treating them like they was patients?
Yeah, I'm thinking they left it open so people could go. You know, take care.
They kept them totally away from us.
And with an open cell. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. That's real.
They treated them like they was patients.
Wow. Not inmates, like patients.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so when you're on the block, depending upon the prison, either you locked up in the cell or you in the day room. It's not open cell possible. Everybody just roaming around, you know. And if you were on a block like that, say if you on M block 7 building, A pod, A section, C pod, all the doors are open, but because you're in a community block where you can go from A, B, and C section, but your door, you got to keep your door closed, or you have to keep, and they tell you to pop your door, but you can be out. But just having an open roll, nah. Too dangerous for that.
Did you find it hard at first getting out, like to sleep? Did you get used to the noises and the things in there? And then when it's dead silent, is
man,
it harder?
You know what's crazy? It doesn't matter to this day what restroom I walk into. I have to turn the water on because I need to hear noise.
To pee?
Either one.
Really, either or.
Yeah.
So, wait, all right. So, what happens when you go in to take a shit in a public restroom?
I don't.
Oh, you never do? Then you're talking about when you go to your home, you do this? Or
you piss in
public places?
Yeah, but it's noise. It's people coming in and out.
Well, they could also turn the water off. That's where I was going with it. No, then
even if I don't need the water there because it's already noise.
I see. Need noise.
I just need noise.
I got you. So if it's silent, the thing you'll do is turn on the water.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just so there's some kind of noise.
Yep.
And then you'll use the bathroom, even if you're just taking a leak.
If I was in a public restroom, right?
Yeah.
And nobody's in there.
Yeah. And you can lock it where they can't get in.
Nobody's there.
Yeah. Does it scare
and the,
you?
And the water is one of them hand things.
Oh, I forgot about that. The sensor. I didn't even think of that. Throw something under there, what do you do?
So, this is how you know how bad this is. I just keep flushing the toilet.
You just keep reaching back. That's why your shoulder's fucked up. That's why your rotator comes all fucked up. All the reach back flushes.
Noise. I need noise.
Do you sleep with a fan or any kind of white noise? No, that you can do.
The TV.
All right, but is the volume on? You still need that noise?
Yeah, the volume is on Law and Order.
And that's what you fall asleep to?
Yeah.
The light doesn't bother you.
Mm-mm.
How dark is it in prison? Like, when you're there, it's got to be like security lights and shit out here. Do you really get dark in there?
It depends.
Will they let you do the eye mask and shit?
Let me tell you, eye mask. You put your shirt over your face or your elbow.
Your elbow.
Yeah. Yeah, sleep like a construction worker. Yeah. Put your work hat over your
lean it down.
You could be in a place where it's like this.
Mm-hmm.
No, the light.
This bright. Oh, it dark. It lights out. It lights out this bright. That's ridiculous.
No, you can. No, you don't understand.
You sleep like you that's like a hospital room.
This is
here.
Like. This, I'm telling you. This is you. Man, it is. I don't think people understand how uncomfortable some of these places can be.
I had no idea it was like this bright for lights.
And
out.
Then they say, imagine that being dim. Oh, but this is the dim. So when it's really on, like this is like dim on dim, and then they really light it up.
Then daytime they light it up even more.
Really lit up. You like, man, this is crazy, and you in a dormitory. So then if you in a dormitory that you like trustees, then they lights out, then the lights are darker than this, depending on what's going on. In closed custody, it's like this.
Is there anything you learned in prison that you're like, man, this really carries over seamlessly into regular life? Man. I don't know, this is going to sound stupid, but did you learn how to tie knots? Did you learn how to make something that you still make, that you still eat? You know, anything like that?
Man, what do I make? I've made everything that I've eaten in prison, but it doesn't taste the same.
Which tastes better?
Prison, because of the circumstances.
You appreciate it more than
where you ate it at. It's like, because you have access to all the tools, so you can make something, and now it's 100%. But in prison, it tastes better when it's not 100%. Like, say Roman noodles, right? Mm-hmm. Say noodles, right? So I can never get the noodles where they're still cooked but still hard in the free society, because I can't get that I can't make that temperature where the water is almost there but not really there.
You got that al dente prison water?
Yeah, it's like you can't do that here. Like
it's too hot because, on the outside.
Because when you do a hot pot, you got to pour it in something and then put it over something and then put that, and you got to try to trap the heat so it doesn't stay hot that long. Mm-hmm. It's just a weird thing that and the cheese. Not I tried to make pancakes and peanut butter one time. I don't know what they put in that peanut butter, but even when I warmed it up and it was smooth, and I put it on there with the syrup, and it just did not taste the same. Like, I was like, miss.
You know, prison pancakes are good. Peanut butter prison pancakes.
Yeah, peanut butter. You can get it with the peanut butter is a certain mix they have, and they put it on your plate, and it's in the syrup. Mm-hmm. But you can't really do it in the freezer side. I've tried to make all of it; just don't taste the same. And I don't want to taste it again. I'm cool.
How old were you when in?
19.
Were you already driving before that?
Yeah.
You were, just for a couple of years then. I just wondered if you learned how to drive when you got out.
I started driving at 14. Mm-hmm. Been driving my mom's car, sneaking out. Then I bought my own car. You know, been driving.
Where would you go? Everywhere. How old? You was 14 and just steal it? What was it? What was her car?
She had a Toyota Corolla.
And where would you just joyride and shit?
Yeah, where she sleep. Go everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere we going. Sleep.
Is this in Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, you go drive everywhere. I've been driving for a long time. I taught my daughter how to drive. She was 8.
I'm teaching my daughter drive. She's 9 now, yeah, and I let her drive all the way down through the garage and everything. I'm like, hit the brakes, pull in. She's like, that's a Tesla. I'm like, pulling next to it. She's doing pretty good.
Man, when I taught Jayden how to drive, I taught her how to drive a Ford Expedition. That was the first truck she drove. They was making this neighborhood. It was a new neighborhood. And they had put all the streets down first.
That's a big-ass truck, too, yeah.
Yeah, they put all the streets down first. Stop signs and everything before they start building the houses. So we go over there. I'm like, hey, got in the passenger side, put in the driver's seat, scoop the chair up. I'm like, hey, just listen to what I'm saying. You're going to drive all the way through this thing. You can't run into nothing. You can't wreck. So take your time. We're going to... The first couple of whip flashes. Good Lord.
Yeah,
and then it got smooth after that. Then she picked up speed and she stopped. And then, you know, it took about 4 hours and then she had it down. And then I would just let her drive it all the time. So now she's very good. She's 25 now, so.
Damn. You got a 25-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
How many kids?
8.
8 kids. I know you. Here's one I want to ask you, too. Do you think, I know your upbringing, obviously, with your dad was so different. Then you actually go to prison. You serve time. You get out. This is the other thing too. I see a lot of people, they'll shit on Joey Diaz or whatever in comedy. You know, these people want to come at these social justice warriors, but I'm like, look, these are men that served their time. All y'all talk about is another chance. Then these guys come out, serve their time. There's a lot of these dudes in comedy that should be in prison, would never make it in prison, haven't served any fucking time, don't do shit. Do you think actually going, putting the time in and coming out now has made you a better person, a better father, a better man? Or where do you stand on that?
I think it's, you know, for me personally, I was a decent person. But this has made me more, that has made me more like stand on it type person. Sometimes I'm not a go along with the crowd person. And I think that gave me that ruggedness of, I mean, stand alone. Because everything you've ever accomplished, you've really stood on it because you was in a place where you actually had to stand on it. Like it was no, you in prison with, there's no calling anybody. There's no help.
No one's gone.
You got to stand on what you say that you own. And I don't think people understand that you got to stand on it. You got to stand on it a lot of times, especially if you get transferred or you go to another block, or people got to know where you at with it. And whatever adversity you face, no weight class. Is what we used to say. No, man, ain't got no weight class. Man, I'm not intimidated by nothing. Like you want to do it, let's do it. And then you say things to people like, man, you don't want to do nothing because you did, you wouldn't be talking. Don't waste my. And you,
I said I'll tell my daughter all the time. People that want to do, they just do it. Yeah. They don't sit and talk about it and somebody, bump gums about it and shit. They just go do it.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's like, you did that? Like, yeah, I already went and did it.
You say something crazy to me, I just haul off and hit you. I don't have time to play with you.
Yeah.
You can't threaten me. Like, are you crazy?
And then that was my favorite. Richard Pryor used to have that bit where he would talk about the dudes that were going to fight and he'd go, push me, man. Push me. And then you hear him go, push me again. Because yeah, he knew the dude pushing. Yeah. He said the other guy was just like, hey, man, just right on him, man, like right that. Off, like, that's the dude right off the top,
man. Let's get it jumping. We ain't got time for all that make-believe nonsense.
Push me again used to make me laugh so hard. All that talk, the dude push me again.
I mean, and then people who, it was always the classic when somebody be bumping and the other person not saying nothing. And not saying nothing with a cachet of, man, I don't even care what you're saying. And then the next thing you hear, hey, man, going on before I get mad. And somebody should know right there. And he'd be like this, hey, man, you better go on over before that man get mad. He told you. You've been talking for 20 minutes. That man be like this. And then you get close to him, you talking. That man say, hey, man, not even looking at you. Hey, man, going on before I get mad, man. Hey, man, going on, man, when you get hurt, man. That man going to do something to you. And sometimes it'll happen to him. Sometimes a dude will really understand, man, going on. And some things don't have to be even said. So it's a difference. It's on and off. I'm a way happier person now.
I mean, I've known you now for a few years. Every time I see you, you seem genuinely happy. I love the path you walk. I like seeing you do your own thing out there. You're definitely different. I love it. Yeah. I try to feel this. Like, I like that. I say Boba Fett. Like, I, you know, whatever. I got allegiance to the check. I'm just out here to get that check. I'll see y'all later.
Man, I'm genuinely happy.
Yeah.
Like without, oh, this is, man, I'm people are, man, how is everything on, man? You want to know for real or you just asking for fake? Because if you want to know for real, you can't be no jealous type person Because sometimes I had to dumb it down for people who I know, like, really don't want to know. I'm like, oh, man, it's cool out here. But really, for people who I know generally want to know, oh, man, shit, man, this, man.
I'm happier than I've ever been in my life. I really
happier than I ever been in my life,
yeah,
man.
I'm with you.
Like, man, I'm so good, bro. Like, I'm so good that when I even hear about beefs or people ask me, what's the state of comedy? Man, the state of comedy is solid.
Comedy has rolled on without Pryor, Carlin, Robin. It's going to keep rolling right on without all of us and all the next ones and all those too.
And
it's just fine.
And being a protector of this craft, like Domino Effect 3, it's just about me. I'm not talking about nobody but me. Not throwing nobody under the bus, not trying to cause no controversy. I'm finishing up the series. I'm focused on a series and not just, oh, I need some shock value to get my ticket sales up. Man, these specials I'm doing are high price commercials, basically, to get people in the seats. And I'm telling different stories when I get them now on in these theater shows. When I go back to the club, I'm going to be doing different, so I'm going to be getting ready for something else. So I'm just happy to be on the road and generally be in front of people who not coming to see you by mistake.
Yeah, your fans are coming to see
that's,
you.
That's
not just a room full of people. That's what's going on at the comedy club or the theater. Tonight.
Different level.
100%.
And if you can't be happy at that 100%. Level, you literally walking out every night to people who bought tickets to come and see you, not by mistake.
There's not babysitters, whatever it took. I say it all the time. They came out of their way. They paid for parking. Some of them, they come to see you, get there early, had their drink minimums, their food, the whole, they're there to see you. There's not just coming out and we don't know. We're seeing what this. No, your people.
Not a check drop. I'm not over your meal. You actually coming to the place to, hey man, who you came to see? Hey man, I came to see Ali Zadiq, man. What you expecting? Him to be him. We came to see him do what he do. You can't, the life of coming from being in the streets and awkward parenting and making mistakes and then being in awkward positions in this business to being in the best position. Like literally you in the best position. You own everything that you are doing and you own yourself on a tour and you people coming to see, like you just having a great time. And this is all the hard work from being a opener, being a feature, being in the clubs, papering rooms, and then selling tickets and learning to be I don't like the word star, celebrity, or influence. I don't like any of those terminology, but I don't have a better word. But learning to be a class act on this road, and solving the unseen problems and not putting band-aids on things, actually sewing up wounds and being a supportive ear for your employees and being motivating for the people who doing your merch and the people who doing your camera and your publicity and balancing your time with your family and getting your own quiet time. It's a lot to being the person and making these decisions on where you're going to play and your routing and your catering and sound check and can, you know, it's just so many things that go into being a bigger act. Mm-hmm. And you appreciate when you do clubs and you getting ready for something else. Well, man, I remember not having to worry about anything outside of counting the room. The theaters, you don't have to count the room. You know what that is. It's the whole ticket chart out there.
Yeah, there is. And everybody can see it.
Everybody can see it.
Man, thank you for coming on and doing this for real. Plug everything again. Plug it all.
Domino Effect 3, May the 12th comes out. Then after that, Domino Effect 4 will be out. Go on to Ali Siddiq. That's with the I-S-I-D-D-I-Q on YouTube. On Ali Siddiq Comedy on YouTube. And then, you know, quite naturally, the website, AliSiddiq.com. Make sure y'all look at tour dates. Check out the specials. Go back and watch the old specials. Man, thank y'all, man.
Thank you, for real. It's a great time, always.
Pleasure, man.
Always. As always, RyanSickler.com on social media. Come see me on tour. My tickets are on my website at RyanSickler.com. Talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.